in a while. Well, give me that on Friday.
Give me taking 2 of 3 from the Braves and then against a team that's in your division that you're trying to jockey for position with and a team that is right now in the playoffs if the season ended today. You take 4 of 6. And then guess what you've got looming after that? The St. Louis Cardinals, who suddenly appear to not be able to lose.
Yes, they have a 4-game winning streak going right now, and they are now into the second wild card spot. We are joined right now by Pirates catcher Jason DeLay. 2 doubles today, 2 ribbies, and he caught Luis Ortiz. Jason, Andrew Filippone, and Chris Muller back here in Pittsburgh. Talk to us about what Luis Ortiz was able to do this afternoon.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, Ortiz, obviously that's a great outing for him. We really just mixed all 4 pitches. You know, he's developed a lot. Looking back at his debut back here in Cincinnati.
Where he's just throwing, you know, smoke. He was just trying to blow 100 miles per hour by everybody, Jason.
Exactly, yeah. He's a little bit of a different pitcher these days. The cutter has been the big one for him this year. Really good strike pitch for him. Able to miss barrels with it, but that's kind of the driver for him right now. Cutter, sinker, slider, and then, like you said, the heater up. But, yeah, really good outing for him today. Mixing 4 pitches, and, yeah.
Jason, was that the plan going in to mix all of them, or was that something that happened on the fly? Like, are you taking an inning as his catcher to see what's working for him beyond what, you know, he was warming up with and then adjusting from there?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it works in general, right? Like, I'm in the bullpen, and I'm taking inventory of what's working well today, and it was really everything. So it's like, okay, you know, we got a lot of weapons we can work with. Let's mix it up. Obviously, we just played the Reds last week, so I felt like I had a really good idea of each hitter's kind of strengths and weaknesses and how we wanted to attack them. And, yeah, like you said, it just it lined up really well today.
Jason, the big one for me is I see 0 walks in 6 innings. You're not giving up free passes in a place where a fly ball can turn into a home run, and all of a sudden a solo homer turns into a 2-run shot because you walk somebody to lead off the inning or something like that. A lot of that is you're not giving in to hitters. You're still attacking them. I mean, it also speaks to control and command today, right? That he was not in a situation where he fell behind guys and just had to give them their pitch.
100%. I mean, you said it. That's something we have, you know, we've harped on in the past, but I think it's an even bigger point of emphasis this year is, you know, throwing the best stuff in zone, attacking hitters, not backing down from anyone. And like you said, just attacking. So, again, did a really nice job of that today.
Jason, I've been to decent number of major league parks, but I've also been to that one that you're in today, and I was just struck when the first time I walked in there as a fan, even how small it seems when you're catching there and you know you've got to try to keep the runs down. Is it alter your game plan mentally at all, knowing what we've been talking about here, that a little lazy fly ball sometimes ends up over the fence? Can that psychologically mess with you or mess with pitchers?
Yes and no. You know, I think there's certain guys where it's like, okay, When you're going through a lineup and you're talking about how you want to attack a guy, you know, the emphasis might be, all right, let's make sure this guy keeps the ball on the ground. You know, a lot of times we deal with that at PNC Park when we're facing lefties, and it's like, okay, let's make them hit the ball to left field, just understanding that short porch in right field with the high wall is there, and lefties are able to just kind of, you know, like Reynolds did the other day, hit a ball 90 miles an hour and it goes out for a homer. So the park does play into it a little bit. Not so much, I guess, in my mind, maybe in the pitcher's mind, but it is a factor.
Can you guys just, and I can say this because you won today and you won yesterday too, can you just stick out the arm next time India comes up and just let him take his base here? What's going on with that guy? He turns into Ted Williams all of a sudden.
He's a good player, man. He's, you know, rookie of the year winner.
Yes.
So it's, yeah, I don't know. He's a good player, and he certainly played well against us this weekend.
Well, he got on base, and it didn't translate into runs. He did have that RBI double in the third, and that was all the damage today. Talking to Jason DeLay here on 93.7, the Fan, after the Pirates win and take 2 of 3 from the Reds. Jason, how about Brian Reynolds, 23 in a row? What are you seeing from that guy right now?
I've been watching him hit for a long time, and I can't say I'm surprised, man. He's just a really, really good hitter, absolute pro. I don't even know what to say anymore. He's really good.
What impresses you most about Brian Reynolds, the hitter?
He's just a complete package, man. He hits for homers, hits for average, has a really good eye, and, you know, really just talking hitting with him is sometimes frustrating because I'm like, teach me how to do it. And sometimes he doesn't even know what he does. He's just so good. He just does it. But yeah, he's an impressive player.
Jason DeLay, more satisfaction, two doubles, two stakes today for you, or that your starter goes six innings of one-run ball, strikes out seven, and you guys silence that lineup?
Ooh, left them speechless. Jason, you still there?
Uh-oh, we might have had the...
Hey, I'm here, I'm sorry.
Sorry, we lost you there.
No, I was going to say, more satisfaction for you as the catcher. Your starter goes out there and shoves in his first start of the year for six innings, or you get the two doubles and two stakes and kind of break that game open with that second double?
I would say under normal circumstances, more satisfaction with the pitcher shoving. But I needed those hits, man. I was getting tired of seeing an average below 100 on the scoreboard. So I know it's only been a few at-bats, but you feel that as a hitter. So I was really satisfied to get those hits today.
Jason, you know Brian Reynolds going back to college. You guys went to school together. So it's a long relationship, like you mentioned. How do we get him to come out of his shell?
You just got to make fun of him. I think that's the only reason why he likes me is because I'm one of the few guys who will really give him a hard time around here.
Now, if either of us had the guts to actually do that, can you give us some material to start with that we could surprise him with? Can you give us anything that pushes his buttons like that?
Tell him he's bad at Fortnite. I think that's where you start.
Man, what is with these Pirates guys in Fortnite?
He loves it.
Jones and Skeets play against each other all the time, they were telling us. Those guys are serious about it. Yeah.
Wait, are you a Fortnite guy too, or do you just like to rib him about it?
I used to be a Fortnite guy. I've grown up.
That was going to be my next question. Jason DeLay at 29 years old, he went to Vanderbilt. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Broadway?
On Broadway, I stay away from Broadway these days. When I was in college, I would go there a decent amount, but yeah, not anymore.
Are you a country music guy in general?
Sure. Yeah, I like country music.
Give me one country music artist that's playing a lot right now. So you can't say like Willie Nelson. I know he's still touring at like 100 years old. One country music artist to see.
Chris Stapleton's my favorite. He's coming to town soon, Jason.
We'll try to get you tickets for that if you want to go. Yeah.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
One more here before we let you run. I wanted you to just put in perspective, when a guy is a long reliever and working out of the bullpen all year, how hard is it for him to just switch and become a starter and change the mentality up and when he comes into a game, Jason?
I don't know. You'd probably have to ask him that, but his routine, to me, he treated it like it was a start. He actually caught me off guard a little bit. He was ready for his bullpen, pregame bullpen, before I was actually ready. So that was not a great start on my part. But no, he did a really good job, and it seemed like he kept the same routine. He seems to be comfortable with it. So it didn't seem to bother him too much.
And do we know what happened there between Ashcraft and Cruz? They were talking about it on the broadcast. Do we know what happened there between those two guys?
That little staring contest?
I missed that. Okay. I totally missed that. I have no idea.
We'll have to ask somebody else about that then. Hey, Jason, congrats on the two hits and a win, and good luck in Atlanta, and we'll work on those Stapleton tickets for you, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Jason DeLay, Pirates catcher.
Bad at Fortnite was not what I was expecting to hear there for something to get to break the Brian Reynolds ice.
You know that Brian Reynolds has met Stella?
Really?
Yeah.
Now was
Brian
he,
Reynolds held Stella.
Now, how was he in that setting, completely away
Great.
From the air? Yeah, chill, talk to...
So we were at Pirate Fest, and Amanda went up to Brian and said, hey, we'd love for you to get a picture with Stella. And I think she said, are you comfortable holding her? And he scoffed at that point.
Like, he couldn't
He's
believe
like, come
that
on,
that
I've
was...
got kids. You don't think I could hold the baby
oh!
here? It's not my first rodeo. One of those deals.
Do you think that Donnie scarred Amanda on that, like, asking people, like, oh, man, this tough customer here?
Well, that's because Donnie was holding her like she was a bar of Dove soap. She was slipping and sliding around
him. I will always say Donnie held Stella like the guy in the infomercial where one product will replace six because he's holding them in a bucket and then the bucket spills out
everywhere.
Or like
the Kevin Stallings character from The Office with that big thing of chili.
Yes, exactly. I scoffed.
I don't buy it. I think it's false.
What's false?
How I was holding Stella.
She's a tough customer. Then I picked her up and I was like, here, boom, done. There was nothing tough about
customer. I got
scolded. She might be the world's easiest customer.
Well, yeah, she is. I mean, she just like kind of like
she chills out
and doesn't cry.
She hangs out. She's loving life. She's a vibe.
Listen, early on with Scarlett, I was scolded by my sister about the do's and don'ts to holding a baby. So I was very nervous anytime I would do so soon afterwards. And Stello did not come along all that long after.
Different era for me, by the way. When my sister's 9 years younger than me and 13 years younger than my older brother. And so I would hold her when she was probably a year old. So the soft spot's gone, but it's still a baby, right?
That soft spot leave?
After, I think it's at a year. I was dragging her like a suitcase or a duffel bag, and my parents would let me attempt this. And God, it had to terrify them. 10-year-old kid doesn't know how to hold a baby. And they were just like, well, he's got to learn somehow. Donnie, I made you look like a pro, I'm talking. Like, she was on my hip, basically, and I had her by the neck, practically, and the shoulders.
Deep left. Jordan back to the wall, and there it goes. Nice backspin ball hitting the top of the wall and bouncing over. Rowdy Tellez with home run number 3, and the Pirates take the lead right back. It's 2-1.
That was Rowdy Tellez. That home run gave the Pirates the lead back at 2-1, and they never gave it back. They end up winning 6-1. By the way, big upset brewing in international soccer. Georgia 2, Portugal 0.
Portugal ain't beat Bama, Paul.
Tellez is going to be... Tellez can be a blessing and a curse here for the Pirates, because they're preaching as a route to get better offensive production, internal development, internal advancement, internal improvements. And Tellez has done that.
Mm-hmm.
Tellez has... After Reynolds, been their best hitter in June. Tellez has his OPS over 600 for the first time all year.
He's looking like a run producer that they envisioned. He's not always hitting the ball
and
over the fence, but he's producing runs.
I just wonder if they're going to look around and say, Jack Sawinski had back-to-back seasons where he hit for power. He's going to figure it out in the second half of the year. Henry Davis, we picked number one overall. He'll get healthy. Let's give him a long runway to hit. Give him every day at bats. Give him a chance. Michael A. Taylor hit 21 homers last year. He plays great defense. We'd rather have him than some of the rental center fielders out there. Why pick up Kevin Pillar, somebody like that, when we can just hope that Michael A. Taylor water finds its levels? Key Brian Hayes at third base. Not that they would bench him because of the money they have tied up in him.
But you shouldn't. I know what you're saying. I've had the same thought. I have that they'll
proof
just,
that the plan works.
But it doesn't work for everybody. That's the problem. It doesn't. If it did, all these guys would hit probably at the same time, or would never have slumped, and they'd be in first place by a lot. What bothers me about what you just said is, I know it's wrong. Like, I know that mental methodology is not correct. It's not a good way to do things. And I also know, and what really bothers me is that I know what you're bringing up is not only plausible, but given the way they've talked about everything else, almost feels likely that their interpretation will be that. This one guy, who, by the way, is still by every measure in balance, a very below average offensive player. That's how bad he was for how long?
For 2 months.
Right. Like, they'll use him as justification, even though if you just parachuted into this baseball season and knew absolutely nothing about, like, trends at the moment, you'd say, well, Rowdy Tellez, he stinks. He's barely got a 600 OPS at a power position. He's not even getting on base at a 300 clip.
Right, but how you determine playing time in the present and in the future is not dictated or not based on how guys played in April. It's based more on what they're doing right now.
And what you think they're going to do.
Yeah,
Pirates think these guys are all going to hit, and that's my problem. They're not all going to hit.
If Rowdy Tellez was playing for the Twins and was DFA'd for his bad 2 months, and the Pirates picked him up off waivers, and his awful production was with another team, and all he had done for them is hit like he has in June,
great.
We would be praising the Pirates for a shrewd pickup.
Sure.
And I think that's how they look at him.
Of course. Well, of course they do, because he's their pickup. We're not fallible. Come on. We know this. We're right here. It's where I feel like the Moneyball scene is instructive around the table. They're all talking about these players in such absolutist terms.
Tellez is a perfect Moneyball player because he doesn't look like Fabio. It's not about what he looks like in jeans or what his build is or anything like that. It's, can he get on base?
What's the, I still think the best one in there is Ugly Girlfriend. He just says it so seriously.
Yeah, there's another one in there that I love that we can't say.
Well, yes, I know what that one is, yes.
Guy walks in the room, his penis is there, 5 minutes before he is or something?
I don't think we can say it. 10 seconds later. Yeah, anyway, this is the line.
Donnie, would you mind trying something for me? Do you have a second?
Oh, this isn't good.
Okay.
This can't go well.
So, Amanda Sile-King, who is part of Pitt volleyball coverage and has worked in promotions for us for so long and is a great
she's awesome.
Person here at the station.
Yep, she's awesome.
She is having a baby, and they had a shower here for her today. So that means they throw this big party in our conference room, and there's all kinds of good stuff. There's Oakmont Bakery cupcakes. There's snacks. There's drinks, and there's everything. So they left some bags of chips and stuff behind, and I go over just to see if there's anything that I want to
poach,
nosh on. Yep.
Yep.
And I see Giant Eagle brand Ridge potato chips. Okay, sounds good. I like Ruffles or Ridges or whatever. Chicken dip flavored.
Chicken dip.
Like buffalo chicken dip.
Oh, buffalo.
It doesn't say buffalo. It just says chicken dip. I don't know another dip besides buffalo chicken dip.
Maybe like a garlicky chicken dip?
So I was going to see if Donnie wanted to just go in there and grab the bag quick. I'm not going to eat one because I don't.
They have nitrates in them
right now.
They got nitrates in them.
No, they don't have nitrates in them, Chris. But it just—I
want to try one.
I don't. He's gonna go grab them. I don't like buffalo chicken dip on its own. I don't.
I'm also not a fan.
You know why? Because this is going back to the nitrates thing a little bit. Canned chicken, I don't trust. That's one of the ingredients. I don't eat tuna fish. I don't
tell you canned tuna is like one of the for bodybuilders and people who want to add muscle. You're the personal trainer.
No, I know, but I don't. It's the fact that it comes out of a can. I like tuna.
That actually makes it safer if it went through the canning process. Just way less appetizing looking.
What do you mean it's safer if it goes through the? It's not fresh.
The canning process, though, like grab that mic over there and tell. It does say buffalo on it. Oh, then that's not nearly as interesting.
No, but it says buffalo chicken dip, potato chips. Turn that mic on, Donnie, and try one.
Well, do we have Sonny Gray knowing which mic to pot up here?
He might not.
Well, go turn your own mic on. I'll just go here. I'll filibuster.
I'll grab a chip.
Yep.
Right now. There's not many in here.
So it wasn't very popular then.
Must have been.
What do you think? Smell test? Smell test?
I have serious doubts that it's going to be anything other than tasting like more or less like maybe a spicier version of a barbecue chip. Barbecue chips, obviously sweet. They're like,
barbecue chips?
No, I think they're the worst flavor of chips. Remember Casey Masterpiece?
What a take.
You don't like barbecue?
No, I think they're
the worst.
I
love barbecue chips.
I think because they're too sweet. Give me the all dressed chips from Canada.
Those are fantastic. I mean, have you ever had those before, Don?
Yeah, you brought a bag back.
Yep.
My neighbor, I'll preemptively say congratulations on all his success. He went to the home show and was one of those Amish things where they will build you a bar in your basement. Like,
again, I don't
prefab.
Know about that whole thing. That's
well,
okay.
It was well done. It was a bourbon bar that he wanted. His dream bar was to have all his bourbons, and he had bar snacks out, and they had those little voodoo chip flavor, but pretzel sticks. Dude.
Oh, the voodoo chips are fantastic.
And they're made here. They're made by Utz, I think.
Right. I mean, it seemed like people must have liked these.
Yeah,
it's
these
down
got
to the
housed.
final countdown here, the crumbs.
I know why these are orange in the bag, and I know Amanda Sile King's favorite color. Orange.
Do they actually taste like buffalo chicken dip?
Kind of, yeah.
And Chris doesn't like buffalo chicken dip, so that means you're out on these
so
chips.
So they taste like buffalo, but then with whatever that little flavor behind the buffalo would be.
Don, what do you think?
I mean, I think they're fine. Like, I would eat them. I don't know. I don't really taste the buffalo chicken.
I almost got on my soapbox the other day because Callis left Callis left the container of Pringles in that producer's booth.
The worst chip.
Okay, but listen to the flavor. Street tacos. Not just regular tacos, street tacos. I tried one. It tasted like I had just,
Let me see one more of those, Donnie. I need to get the full palate experience.
It was one of the most disgusting chips I've ever had in my life.
Have you never had a great street taco, a walking taco, Mr. Filippone?
I feel like we've gone too far with chip flavors.
We have.
Stick with the basics and the originals. Your salt and vinegar, sour cream and onion,
cracked pepper
barbecue.
And salt.
Yeah. We don't need to reinvent the potato chip wheel.
I'll tell you what are really good.
Sour cream and onion.
Yes.
Salt and vinegar, did you say?
Yes,
already?
I did.
That's a big one.
Jalapeno's great, though.
You know which one
jalapeno.
I don't like? Lay's came out with it. I think they stopped because they were so unpopular.
Chicken and waffles.
I didn't. They really do that?
Yeah, they did it.
Pickle flavor.
Oh, no, I'm about
get
that
out of here with
See,
that.
See, I'm out on all that.
No.
Thank you.
No, we had dill chips on vacation.
No,
dill
get out of here
chips.
With that.
I am
take
high...
that and flush it right down the toilet.
No, don't flush it down the toilet. Toss it all to Mulsey while I can
here,
eat.
Here's
disgusting.
Here's something I'm curious of because Pringles, obviously, my big complaint.
You know they set out to make tennis balls originally?
Well, I mean, that's how they make the container. So they should have. I mean, how?
Joke.
I mean, how? Well, either way. My big question is how many chips do we get into there before Harry Callis can even get his hand down in the thing? He's got like
oh he's sliding them.
He's
out.
Like a bear.
He's like the commercial that they ran during the Super Bowl where the person's hand actually got stuck inside of it and they couldn't get
it out. Yeah, I mean it's like trying to get like a catcher's mitt in that thing.
You know what though? I will let me just amend this a little bit. I'm not if it was not Callis's, then it would have been Nelly's. One of those two guys left Pringles in there for days. Nelly would be the other culprit because he brings in snacks.
I know.
Like, you can't believe.
I think the Pringle is just a terrible chip. I think they're so bad, dude. The whole gimmick is, look, it's a tube full of chips instead of a big bag.
And then their commercials used to be, look at all the grease and crumbs that you
oh,
get
yeah.
with the other
yeah,
chips.
Yeah, they would dump a bag of Pringles or a thing of Pringles onto a paper towel in a bowl and dump Lay's next to it, and Lay's looked way better. Oh, all the good stuff that makes it taste good. The grease is on that one. What was Pringles' slogan? Once you pop, the fun don't stop?
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Mm-hmm. No, in fact, I can, and I do. By never popping
in the
first place.
I'm telling
you,
this chip tasted like diarrhea.
You've tasted diarrhea?
I would
diarrhea.
Imagine diarrhea tasting. Street tacos.
I wouldn't go too far because that might be a next flavor that comes out.
Debrief time. It's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread.
Love it.
Don?
The debrief, June 26, 2024. Our pal Mike Florio putting out pre-training camp NFL power rankings, 1 through 32. This is just the great summer fodder you get.
I love
around the NFL. I love list season.
People bitch and moan about why don't you guys talk about something else? And what
but they
want
consume
you to
assume it. They
but,
consume
but no,
it.
No, but what they want you to talk about is the most inane thing ever that only is appealing to them. This is popcorn and I love it. Shovel it in. Feed me more of this slop, Donnie. I thrive on it. I am fueled by it.
Well, the bad news here is that I saw these rankings from Mike.
Yeah, he put them out 2 days ago.
I didn't see them, so it's not bad news.
Oh, well,
I'm dumb. I'm blind.
It's one of those things where it's do you want the good news or the bad news first with the Steelers? Is how I see it.
I want the bad news first.
The bad news is they rank last among AFC North teams. That is the bad news. He puts the Ravens, Bengals, and Browns all ahead of them.
The good news is
overall he has them 14th.
I don't think the Browns belong ahead of them.
Thank you, Mulsey.
I don't.
You've come to your
I just I've seen
senses.
Enough
you've come
this,
home.
I've seen enough.
Welcome home.
I've seen maybe I what I should say
he's
is
he's yours, Pittsburgh.
What a man, this Mulsey. He's yours, Pittsburgh.
Yes.
No, I was going to say like what I really haven't seen enough of is reason to buy the idea that Deshaun Watson will regain the form he had when he was with the Texans. If he is that guy, or I would say pretty close to that guy, they are going to be better than the Steelers because that guy was one of the best quarterbacks in football. But what he has been for the Browns thus far has been pretty underwhelming, and that's being charitable. There have been a lot of suspect games and only a small handful of ones where I would say he flashed some of that form that we saw years ago.
They're also starting Devin Bush at linebacker. That's a problem.
You can hide guys.
How do you hide that?
He is pretty small, so it's easy. You just line him up behind one of your defensive linemen. No one will see him. No, I mean, you can hide guys at that position sometimes with a good pass rush. You know why I think it's still the least valuable defensive position and the one I would generally not want to spend money on because other guys do more important things. Edge rushers, even defensive tackles, corners, and elite safety. They have a good roster. They have one of the best defensive players in the league in Garrett. They have Amari Cooper, who I think is very good. If Nick Chubb comes back looking like old Nick Chubb, they're pretty good. You know what else? You know what else I don't like? And this is, I don't know, your mileage may vary here, both of you. I do think that it is being undersold the degree to which Bill Callahan leaving them might hurt them.
I agree with that. He's one of the great offensive line coaches of all time. We saw the Steelers line wasn't the same after the great Mike Munchak left. I think the same thing can apply to the Browns.
That
was a massive coaching loss for them.
It was a huge coaching loss, and I'm sure they think they've got somebody on the staff who will replicate it. Who was the guy who coached after Munchak? Was it Sweet Feet?
Yes, Sean Surrett.
Sweet Feet. Ah, yes.
They blew him out of there fast.
Very quickly. That Browns
Sweet
offensive line.
Sweet Feet turned into Stinky Feet. They fired his ass.
That Browns offensive line was probably, I would say, other than Garrett, like the most identifiable thing about them, Donnie.
With injuries,
don't you think?
Too. Guys would go down like Conklin, remember, and big DeJuan Jones went in there and looked fantastic.
Do you remember in the infamous playoff loss, Mayfield goes, yeah, I think our left guard was some guy named Blake. I don't know his last name. I just met him.
Mm-hmm.
They were
all great.
Yeah, they kicked the Steelers' ass in that game. And so I think that plus the Watson stuff, what are you actually going to get from this guy, are two major questions that I don't think they should be allowed to just traipse right past with the benefit of the doubt.
Cooper has a stalemate with them right now. We don't know what Nick Chubb is going to be coming off from this injury. They got a lot of questions.
Donnie, here's the thing about this segment. He thought I was going to say, yeah, that's where the Steelers should be. They should be last. It's a great division.
I love it.
And I surprised him by coming out with a little smoke towards the Browns.
You know what this is? This is New Leaf Mulsey.
New Leaf.
Mike also did something that we love because he went after a team that has a notable big fan base. He put them way too low because he knew he would get the people all riled up. No, the New York Jets 25 behind the Broncos, the Vikings.
I thought the same thing.
Around the Raiders, around the Titans.
I thought the same thing when I saw that, Don. The
PFT readers bitch at him endlessly that he hates Aaron Rodgers and or writes too many stories about Aaron Rodgers. Mike is nothing if not a smart businessman, and clicks are good for business. Come on.
This got 2 million obvious impressions, just the rankings, just putting 32 teams in order.
He doesn't think 23 teams are better than the Jets.
I go back, like, having the Steelers 14th seems about right to me. When we did this for First and Pod and ranked teams after the draft, I just put them 16 because I could not bring myself to put them as a below average team. I just made sure that the Steelers were smack dab in the middle, which is honestly where I am on them right now. Last year, I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl. And this year, depending on when you catch me, I'm either very eager for them or I'm extremely anxious. The delta on them, the variance with the Steelers this year, like, for me, is all over the place. Like, not in terms of maybe record, but some days I feel like they're going to win a playoff game. In other days, I feel like the best they can do is third place, and they're probably going to get shellacked by the Chiefs or Bills or Bengals or whoever they're forced to play, and the Texans
in the playoffs.
They could
actually finish third in the division and win a playoff game.
True.
I mean, those two things are not mutually exclusive.
No, that's right. That's right. Last year, three teams made the playoffs
in
the division.
Okay, so I'm a little different than you on them. I do have a sense generally that they are going to be a pretty good football team, that they're going to, by and large, look better than they have the last two seasons. I just think they will get better quarterback play. And I think 2 years in now to an Omar Khan draft class, where I think this year's guys, some of them are going to be more instant impact players, even though, by the way, I already heard it's already momentum building that Dan Moore is going to hold on to his job a little bit into this season, which makes me want to scream.
Where is that coming from?
Cabali had it in his mailbag.
Oh,
somebody led the witness.
Fittipaldo said today that it's going to be Fautanu and Jones.
I hope Ray is right.
So we have dueling insiders.
Insider battle. But I think that their team, top to bottom, I know they have a glaring hole at wide receiver too, and I know they have a very unsettled corner situation after Porter. But I think those two significant absences or problems or holes aside, I do think they look like a better roster on paper than what I've seen recently.
All right. Thank you for a great debrief, Donnie. And thank you to Mike Florio, who joined us last hour as well.